Welcome once again to the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and online at luckymojo.com. I'm your announcer, Papa New, to papanew.com in Omaha, Nebraska, and in just a moment, we'll be joined by our co-host, Catherine Ironwood of luckymojo.com in Forestville, California, and Contraman of contramanconsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. This week, we'll be joined by a special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, Ethan Nickel of myselfismycards.com in Fullerton, California, bringing us today's discussion on how to make money at psychic fairs and festivals. Together, they will teach you all about this subject and then provide a related free spell near the end of the program. But first, let's catch up with our co-host, Catherine Ironwood and Contraman. Miss Cat?
Hi, Papa New. It just occurred to me that although you are our announcer, you also do a lot of psychic fairs and festivals. So we may bring you in for a little question at some point. Yeah, I'd love to hear your response to this topic. Well, before we start, I'm going to do real quick with the free giveaways. So the free giveaways, and everybody who listens to this show knows, free giveaways are free readings and free products. So the last Magic Monday at the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook and Instagram was a giveaway of a 15-minute free reading, and the winner was Jess Watson. And to sign up to get that free reading, all you got to do is drop by on Monday or Tuesday at the Hoodoo Psychics Facebook page or Instagram page, drop a comment, say you want a free reading, and you may be selected. So don't pass up a chance for a free reading. You can then go to Hoodoo Psychics and pick anyone that's live online or make an appointment for someone who's not online at the time you check in. Okay, then the free product giveaways. This last week, Lucky Mojo gave away 6 Facebook Friday oil bottles, and the bottles were Fast Luck Oil. And so there were 6 winners, and their winners were Courtney Robertson, Shelley Saylor, Callie Demetria, Susan Liest, or Leist, depending if it's English or German in pronunciation, James Rivera, and Paul Mallory. And so congratulations, you 6 winners. Contact the Lucky Mojo Facebook page, click messages, and you have to send us your mailing address for shipping, or we can't send you your free bottle of Fast Luck Oil. And so thanks for playing. And every Friday, that's a thing. And every Monday, that's a thing. Free stuff. All right. Well, I'm going to just give a little bit quick update about what's going on in the shop. We've been working very, very hard and making things. We have some reason. Somebody went wholesale with us on spell kits. So that's a lot of spell kits to make. And we're happy to have the business, but it's a lot of work. So shout out to Max and Eileen. And we're chugging along. And as far as anything else going on around here, it has been raining. It has been a little cool. It has been a little wintry. So how about you, Countryman? What's going on in your world?
Oh, not much. It's been a bit of a busy, busy week and, you know, still recovering from Thanksgiving, as is the case of the day of gluttony, as I call it. it was interesting. I don't ever actually participate in Black Friday myself. It's not my thing. But I was just sort of perusing around various websites and whatnot. There really wasn't any deals this year from what I could see. Everything was the same price, but it was said to be a sale. So I thought that was kind of surreal and interesting. I wasn't planning on buying anything anyways. I just never participated in Black Friday. I hate the thing. But it was very weird that you know, they always say that they claim something's a sale, but they don't actually change the price. But this time I actually saw it with my own eyes. I was looking at it, various computers and whatnot. I'm like, this is the same price that they normally are at. So I don't know what type of Black Friday people experienced, but it was a very weird one. I was like, this doesn't look like a Black Friday at all to me. But otherwise, trying to stay sane, and we're headed into the holidays. I mean, I always feel from Thanksgiving to Christmas is a bit of a crunch. Like, it just sort of blurs. You blink and, oh, Christmas is upon you and the year is over. And now you're looking at 2026. But such is time in the post-pandemic world. So it's been interesting. It's been busy. It's been surreal. And I'm glad to have this conversation with you all, because I know very little about this topic as an outsider. I do a little bit, but not as one who's done it. So I'm very interested in learning from you and our guest.
Yeah. Well, let's bring in Ethan. Ethan does work at psychic fairs and festivals. So welcome to the show, Ethan.
Hello, everybody. Hi. Thanks for having me.
Well, we're going to jump right into it. And I'm going to start talking about what we mean by how to make money at psychic fairs and festivals. Mm-hmm. So for those of you unfamiliar, some of our listeners are in Europe or India or wherever, and they don't have these. We have institutions around here that are sometimes called psychic fairs. They can be called body, mind, spirit expos. And there are also conventions which are based around magic. There are festivals based around holidays, especially pagan holidays. And many of these allow vendors and or fortune tellers to show up at a table and either read for people or sell products or both. Now, if you look at the picture we have up on screen for the placard, this shows a table set up with candles and oil bottles and little knickknacks and some boxes. And the first thing you notice that there are what seem to be candles. Rule one, no open flames at psychic fairs. Those are LED candles. So rule number one, if you want to sell candles, put up some LED lights or show something that looks lit, but it cannot have an open flame. And then these different products are displayed and people can purchase them. There are prices, as you can see here. So that's one way to set up a booth. There are many, many ways to set them up. But when you are reading at a psychic fair, usually you would have a little space, a little tablecloth, and you would be putting out your cards. You could be shuffling, you could have a crystal ball, and you might have some signs that recommend you do palm reading or card reading. That's what we're talking about here. Now, not everybody does this. And to start off with, the first thing I want to say is, if you don't feel drawn to meeting the public and exposing yourself to random strangers, this probably isn't a way for you to make money. If you don't have a vehicle that you can tote things in, this isn't a way to make money. If you buy products to sell at the psychic fair, you may end up with unsold stock. So you have to choose very carefully what you're going to carry. And that is an issue that people have. Well, if I'm going to a pagan fair, but I have something that's Christian magic, can I bring it? Yeah, you can, but you might get talked badly at. If I'm going to a Halloween fair, can I bring love products or should I only bring Halloween products? Well, I'm here to say I have a couple of friends who set up at a Halloween fair. They got a lot of products that were Halloween-like, you know, like scary, spooky, black arts, bat's blood, whatever. They also brought along just a little garnish of products like Follow Me Boy and Love Me. When they came home from the fair, all the Love Me were sold but two products. All the Follow Me Boy were sold but four. And they still had packets and boxes of Black Arts and Bat's Blood and Dragon's Blood. Because even at a gothic Halloween fair, people still have the same interest they always have, which is health, protection, love, and money. And so you have to bring the right stuff that will be purchased just because it's popular, and then you kind of maybe garnish it with some of the things that that festival or fair was about. Okay, so that's my beginning advice. Now I'm going to turn this over to you, Ethan. Tell us what your first piece of advice would be to people.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree with all that. It's absolutely true. Any time of the year, that's what people have on their minds, you know. The first thing that I would say about psychic fairs or fairs of any, you know, fairs basically where these things are being featured, is that people are going there on purpose to be in that atmosphere and share in that energy and stuff. So, you know, it's different than just a downtown place where you have a booth and there's many other kinds of things going on, you know, where you have the kids jumpers over there and, you know, a blues band playing over to the side. Is, you know, these are festivals where you have everybody's interested in one kind or another of healing work or energy work or something like that. And, you know, people kind of show up almost like they've got their old school Disneyland tickets and they're going to try this, they're going to try that. So what's really neat about a fair that's themed this way, or its main intention is to be a psychic fair, is that you know that everybody's there for that purpose. It kind of brings up the vibe a little bit. And you're not selling the idea of magic or readings. It's expected.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, exactly. People are coming for what you've got. Now, in the chat, Coastside Conjure noted, I have many photos of these kinds of fairs festivals on Facebook under Shelby O'Connelly, should people want to see them. And it's true, Shelby, Coastside, whatever you want to call her, has been attending fairs and festivals like this for years, showing all kinds of layouts, all kinds of people reading cards at tables, people selling products. It's a real resource for the community. You can look at it and say, hey, I like that layout. I don't like that one. Gee, maybe I should invest in a tiered level shelving so that people can see the full front face of it, everything, rather than ask me, what is that? So Shelby really is a good resource. And thank you so much. She's really great. Now, the thing about reading at fairs is, if you're going to read at a fair, it's very hard to market your products. So you immediately need two people. And we published a book by Valentina Burton, who's known as the Fortune Teller of Dallas. And it's called The Fortune Teller's Guide to Success. And anyone who wants to sell at fairs, whether products or readings, should read that book. It's a $12 book. It's an amazing introduction to the different kinds of fairs, whether they are boutique, whether they are large body, mind, spirit, with all kinds of three-ring circuses going on. Whatever they are, she covers them all. And she talks a lot about, you know, what you should have. For instance, another thing that is, don't bring your beautiful glass crystal ball. Get one of those acrylic crystal balls. They look just about as good, but you don't want somebody dropping and shattering your glass crystal ball on the cement floor of the veterans building. You know what I mean? It's just not going to work for you. So she has hundreds of tips and tricks like this sprinkled throughout this 96-page book. I recommend it very highly. Another thing I'd like to say is, if you are going to be doing readings and selling product, it's a good idea to sell tarot cards if you read tarot cards. Because people come to you and they say, oh, I'd like a reading. And you say, well, I have three decks that you could use, right? The Rider-Waite-Smith, and here's the Crowley-Thoth deck. And let's say I've also got this, maybe it's a Halloween theme thing, and I've got this little Kip West Halloween Tarot. Which would you like me to read? And they pick one. And then you say, you know, I have all of these for sale over here, and I teach lessons in tarot at my own shop. Here's my business card, you know. So that becomes part of what happens. And many people, after a reading, will buy a tarot deck. Now, they won't buy the biggest, most expensive gold-plated one. They'll buy a little cheap one, a mini tarot, for instance. And if you promise them, hey, I can teach you, stay in touch, you know, then you've made two sales for one. Also, if you're reading for them, and you know, you've all heard me on this show where I say wands are candles, swords are air or prayer, pentacles are talismans, and cups are teas or baths or waters, right? So I get a spread, and maybe the spread has a bunch of cups. And I say, you know, cups really indicates that your way out of this situation may involve bathing. You know, I do have a small selection of bath crystals over here that you can use. After the reading, I can show them to you. So
yeah, remediation is really, you know, if you're a reader, once you've gotten to the core of what the issue is and you understand the person that you're talking with deeply and the things that they're facing, the very next thing you want to do is help them accomplish the goal or get through the obstacle or, you know, succeed in that love interest. You know, so yeah, the herbs and candles and recommendations, I think it's a key component. It's so interesting that we've moved from this time when we're basically, especially in California, like you're saying, you know, with these psychic fairs, it's a thing, is basically almost like a trick. You know, can they read my mind? Can they describe my circumstance with just cards? But these days, I think there's a genuine interest in supporting that with the remediated work and stuff. And it feels wholesome, and people understand it. It's not about the trick of it anymore. It's the fact that it works.
Yeah, what I call those the drive-by skeptics. Yeah. And they have really vanished. They're not around anymore. They got whatever jollies they were going to get. Yeah, I used to have to fear that, you know, like, oh my God, what are they going to do? But no, that's nowadays, I think that psychic reading is so well accepted that people really, that's what they're there for. They really are there for that. Now, the other thing is, if someone asks you for remediation, they say, oh, I'm so embarrassed to tell you this, but I want to get the best oil or the best bath crystal, whatever. I want to get the best whatever. My boyfriend left me. I'm here alone. I don't know what to do. I don't know if he'll come back. I don't mind giving them a free 3-card draw. I'll say, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to prescribe something that you could use, but let's see what the cards show us. And I just do a quick 3-card cut. And I go, look, candles, baths, and then prayer. These are the 3 cards. You know, it would be wands, cups, and it doesn't matter what the, and then swords. It doesn't matter what the cards are so much that I've got 3 different modalities. And so
yeah, it's really good to open up the space and open up the dialogue to more than just the expected reading, and then they get up and leave, right?
Right.
So that you can engage, and it's a little bit more, it feels like some sort of return to a place in time I suppose I wasn't born to, mm-hmm. where that's what it was about, you know, just trying to understand each other. And then offering things and ideas, and that's where the magic is, for sure, you know. And yeah, of course you want to make money to support the effort and time and money that it requires to even be there and show up and be there for them. You want to make a business model that supports this thing that your practice is trying to get better and better at, and help people and be available. So to set up to set that up without selling too hard, rather than selling to them, being available for them, rather than just giving readings, having a dialogue about them as a person in their life, but mm-hmm. somehow bookending that with the idea that, okay, we are having a session here. Right? Mm-hmm. That's a delicate balance to strike, but it can be done.
Mm-hmm. Well, it helps to have 2 people mm-hmm. and what Valentina calls the reading wrangler. So the reading wrangler is the person who's watching the table. And when you're done with the reading, you can say, let me introduce you to my associate here, or my friend, my husband, my, you know, cousin, whatever. And he, she can tell you, tell you some of the products that we make. You don't have to buy any. Or here's a book about this topic. You know, you were feeling that you were crossed, and here's a book about getting uncrossed. Or, you know, you were checking, do I have an enemy? And, you know, if you want to, here's a book about how to get rid of enemies. And this will contain spells. But to get that place without seeming to be intrusive, you have to ask the question, have you ever done, do you get readings before? Yes or no? And they'll tell you, oh, yes, I've had many, or I love readings. Do you do readings yourself? Oh, well, then you're going to learn a little bit different from me if they say yes, or if they say no. It says, don't worry, it'll be easy. And then you ask if they have ever done magic spells. If they say, no, I've never done magic spells, then just damp that down. Don't go there, because you're not there to all of a sudden teach them that magic spells exist. But if they say, no, I've never done magic spells, but my mother does. And I would then say, oh, well, you should learn from your mother. She probably has some really great information, but you know, I can help you too. But just, in other words, you want to always say yes to whatever they say. If they say, no, I don't do magic spells, I've dabbled once and I got scared, you go, oh, okay, well, that's great. Well, we'll just do a reading here and see what the future holds. In other words, it's always say yes, never say no. You can write that.
I like that. Right? Yeah, I like that a lot, because you're, and that should say something about the scope of your abilities too, the fact that you can say that. You should be prepared for that as a reader. But you know, of course, you're speaking from experience. You've done thousands and thousands of readings, and I've found with the hundreds and hundreds of readings I've done that that's definitely the more readings you do, the more you learn that fact, what you just said. It's true.
Now, there's a little asterisk after always say yes, never say no. And the asterisk is, you are allowed to say yes, but.
Oh, it should be yes with information.
Yes.
In fact, you didn't even realize how right you were about that. We can go further with that.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or do you ever do spells for people? Yes, but I can't do it right now because I'm at this fair. Let me give you my business card. Right. So that is yes, but. And the but should not be a dismissal. It is what you can do for them. And the business card is always good. It's always good for yes, but.
Yeah. And, you know, there's time and place for these things, right? It's just not appropriate to do. And I've seen people try to do this spell work and stuff like that. It's really not made for the then and there in the middle of a psychic fair, right?
Right.
Rushing it and including just to, I don't know, maybe prove something or something. I don't know what they're doing. But when you're relaxed into your practice and you're really working with the person, it's a much more open-ended, free-flowing kind of thing. You're just there for them.
Okay, I got one more one. How to get people to your table. Now, there are two levels of this, and one, of course, is magically preparing your table, but the other is to talk to people. And so if you don't talk to people, they will look and walk away. So that's why I tell people, you really have to want to talk to people. You don't talk to them, they will, you know, they'll just look at your stuff and they go, oh, interesting. And then they'll just leave. But if you say, you can just sort of pick up in the middle of conversation with them and they're looking at, say, some oils or something, and you say, yes, we hand make these oils. And they come from old traditional formulas, like, for instance, and you just give them one, for instance, you know, like, for instance, this is a love oil. Lots of people like that one. And this is a money oil, probably our most popular oil. If they look blank and look away, you drop it and yet you don't say another word.
Yeah.
But if they,
curiosity, right?
Yeah. Oh, let me look at that. And they choose the love oil. Then you say, do you want to, you know how that's used? You know, you could put this on your body. It's skin safe. You could put a little bit on a candle if you burn candles, and you just sort of lead them down the path to where it makes sense to them.
There's a practice that I do where you're right, talking with them, making that contact, right? Mm-hmm. But even if you don't speak with them, you can speak with them through your eyes and your expression. It's basically kind of talking with your mind, you know. Mm-hmm. But you catch their eye and you show them that you can say this inside your head. Mm-hmm. Hi, are you having a good day? I wish you lots of blessings. Perhaps you're curious about what we can do at this table. You know, just say it, and your eyes mm-hmm. will say it. They'll read it, and it works.
That's interesting because you see, I am have such low vision that I can't do that. I can't even tell if they're male or female, or if they're old or young. Some of the time, it's just like, you know, oh, that was a person with a blue dress, or that was a person with pink hair. That's it for me. That's best as I can do. Well, so I can't.
I'm a big bearded guy, and it's mm-hmm. like I kind of have to show them it's okay. I'm, you know, I'm not mean. You mm-hmm. know.
Yeah. So I don't really do eye contact. Even when I'm talking to people, I tend to show them my hands, a sort of a more Mediterranean gesturing type thing. That's my style. So I do use words, but again, everyone has their own style. And there's not one way that's better than the other. Mm-hmm. One thing that I find it's important for me when selling at a fair or festival to wear solid colored clothes. Mm. Because myself, as a vision limited person, if I were wearing a very decorative floral print and I was next to a large assortment of oils, I know that I couldn't see myself against those. Even if I was against posters, if I was selling posters of Hare Krishna or whatever, and I was wearing the wrong colored clothes against those posters, it'd be like camouflage. So if you wear a solid color piece of clothing with some nice sparkly jewelry at the neck, on the bracelets and on the rings, and maybe something in your hair, that way you stand out against the whole pile of vendors and products that fills the hall or that's outside under the tents. So that's just one of my tips, you know. It's not so much whether you are dressed garishly, but in some circumstance you will be dressed garishly. And there's nothing weirder than two people talking to each other wearing totally clashing clothes. So I'm not saying you should wear neutral clothes or all black or anything like that, but wear clothes that are solid color that declare what you want. You know, today I'm wearing green. It's a money color, right? And people have seen me often in my solid green dresses because I'm going to a fair. I want to make money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is glamour magic 101, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and coordinating the people in the booth, says Nagashiva, can be helpful as well. Mm-hmm. Now, I want to ask Conjurman, do you have any questions?
I do. I have a couple questions here. Firstly, we should just point out a real brief history that these fairs are actually quite old. They're not sort of a new thing. People mm-hmm. sort of assume that this is like a new thing that's only started to happen in the 20th century, but we have evidence of sort of psychic fairs that go back centuries and centuries. Back in 11th century Cairo, the readers, particularly astrologers and palm readers, were known to line up on the streets. And when a fair came in, they were actually the first people you would see as you walked into the market. So you'd walk into the market in Cairo, and the first people that lined the fairs were actually psychic readers. They were astrologers and palm readers, and they had their little tents that on the side. So you'd actually see them first before you entered into the market. And we know that throughout Europe, that whenever markets came up, both in Paris quite famously and in Cologne, I think the Cologne was the first to have it, if I'm not mistaken. But the same thing, that when a market came in, the psychics sort of were there. So this is a very old practice. So anyone who might be going, oh, this sounds too corporate, or this sounds too new. No, no, it's very old. It's very historical. But I do have a question. Are there particular types of readings, both in terms of the divination system and the type of questions that you can do here? And are there other ones where you're like, you know, let's set up an appointment at a different time. So how would you sort of navigate one, which divination people should use if they're just starting out? Should they stick to palm reading? Should they stick to tarot, or the other types that they can do as well? Is there a type of divination system that you'd say, hey, this might be a little too involved for a fair? And what type of questions would you be able to take at a fair, and what questions would you refer to a longer session?
Boy, that's real interesting. And I'm going to say I used to date a guy who was the first person who invented an astrology program that was computerized. Mm-hmm. And he was a coder. He was also a metaphysician. And he invented a program that would print out. And this was like using like Daisy wheel printers and ASCII type, you know what I mean? And he was in England. And he took this thing around to various pagan fairs, this big boxy old computer, right, that he would do people's horoscopes. And he said, people said to him, oh, I don't like it. I don't like computers. So he had a carpenter make a beautiful wooden case that the computer was in.
Oh, that's funny.
And he had the printer was in a wooden case, and then crick, 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 out comes the paper out of this wooden box. He'd rip it off, give it to you. And so you can do things astrology if you have the equipment for it and a source of electricity, of course. But it would be, you know, you don't want to be bringing in like your laptop. It just doesn't say wizard, you know. So there is no, the answer is there really is no limit. And this guy made a lot of money, by the way, until he got hired away to come to America and work in Silicon Valley and doing other things.
It's really interesting to see what people will bring and experiment with and try, right? Mm-hmm. And over time, of course, you develop your interest of what you want to read, what you see people responding to. Anybody who's you know, eventually you will pick up more than one divination system, because you definitely find that there are different windows into these worlds, and the different practices offer those vantage points, right? Mm-hmm. And they can be used together. And once you start to see the sinistry of that happening, you really, you know, so you can choose for any different situation. You know, you should have a handful of things that you can do at your table, I would recommend. Mm-hmm. And if you have one system that you're good at, that you feel comfortable with, start with that and start working in the next thing, you know. Mm-hmm. A pendulum. If you're a card reader, bring your pendulum along, look for an opportunity to bring it out, give it a try, see what kind of results you get, you know. But I am seeing people, my gosh, there's a lady who brings animals, birds, cats, and she will put the animals on the person as they're laying down as part of her therapeutic work. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what to call that.
You know? Some crystal gridding or something like that, or
something, you know.
Yeah, something like that. They're in the chat. I don't see you in the chat, Ethan. Maybe I'm missing it.
I'm here. I'm not really seeing.
You're just
much,
not typing. But... okay, great. Well, there's been a bunch of chat here, and I want to run past it because it's really important here. So Shiva said astrological charts might be tricky and time consuming. No, they're not really. You can just, if you can plug in their natal chart and then today's transits, they're going to be happy. It's really not that. If you can sight read a chart, if you know what I mean, it's like sight reading music, you can do astrology on the fly. I've done it for years. But if you can't, and you can also use things like Celeste, which is a little program on my iPhone that I use all the time. Okay, so that was one comment. Palm reading seems very easy. Palm reading is very traditional, especially among Roma people. and Sinti people in, which are known as gypsies by many people, in Europe. They do palm reading and also in America. Palm reading is very easy to do. And I've done it at carnivals and at state fairs and county fairs. It's very easy to do. Candle reading, not possible. Swordilage type, says Shiva, where you are using like bones or throwing stones and runes. And so all of the swordilage systems work very well, but you've got to put a limit on it. You're not going to do the grand tableau of the Lenormand cards. You've got to keep it short. Because you've
it's
got
interesting. I've to tell you the truth, I've done quite a few grand tableaus.
Really?
And yeah, people are starting to really open up on that. And I would agree with you, but there's such a heavy interest in card work now that people are expanding their attention.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they can actually handle it.
That's good. That's really good. Mm-hmm. I was never able to do like more than a tic-tac-toe layout with nine cards. Now, the other one that is lithomancy, stone casting. Mm-hmm. And this this is one that I love doing. This is where you have a big crystal bowl full of tumble polished rocks. And you tell the person to select the rocks they want up to whatever number you want them to have, say five, and you can select five of them and put them in order that you want me to see them. And then you read those crystals or tumbles, and you're going to read them based on your knowledge of what the stones are, like obviously rose quartz would be for love and so forth and so on. But you also, the order in which they put them is like reading cards. Now, I want to bring in Papa Newt on bone reading. How do you do bone reading at a festival?
I keep it to a set amount of time. I have two different choices of time that they choose from, and I just work with, I just tell them I'm going to say a prayer with a question in mind, toss them out, and I just read. I just go and do it.
So, but do you use a limited number of bones or a limited amount of time?
More time, just because I want to be mindful of there's all these people here. People are going to be curious about what the heck is even bone readings. So I want to be able to keep time open so people can experience it. Because I've been times where I've been so booked that people had to come the next day because I didn't manage my time. So it's more time limit than anything. But I always keep the same set with me.
So bone reading, do you ever give them a token bone to take home with them? Or in an event like this, you probably wouldn't, right?
If I have extra, because sometimes I do keep extra bones, and if I bring them, I will. But there are times where I go to grab them, and it's just like this big no, and it's like, okay, cool.
Yeah. Nope. See, with one thing with this stone reading that I love is because these tumble polished rocks are very cheap.
Right.
And you can also, by the way, ask the person, why did they lay them out in that way? Oh, I always lay things out in perfect chromatic color order. Or they lay out five amethysts. Well, my favorite stone is amethyst. Whatever. So you can read them by what they do. But then you can also, at the end, you can look at you can say, pick your favorite of these stones that I've read for you, and they'll pick it. You say, and you put your hands out, you give the stone into their hand, you put your hand out, put it in there, and then squeeze their hand and say, you can keep this. And by the way, here's my business card. So you're just giving away a $1 retail value stone, which didn't cost you a dollar, obviously. And this is really kind of nice. I also like to give away tumble polished stones to the children of people who are spending a bunch of money. And you have to ask the person's permission. So you say, the little girl is looking at the pretty stones, and you say to her, which stone do you like? And of course, the mother is now cringing because you're going to make my baby demand a stone. And then you say to the mother, can I just give her a free stone of her choice? And then the mother melts. Oh, thank you. Yes, you can. And so, again, just giving that free stone to a little child and, of course, telling the child what it is, that makes the child understand a little bit of magic that mother does or whatever it might be. Like, this is hematite. It grounds you, or whatever you're going to say. And you put it in your hand. And then you smile at the mother. Oh, you got to smile at the mother. And you say, you say, she really likes stones, and then we'll leave it at that, you know?
Yeah, and once you encounter it once, then you know to be prepared for it in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Well, I set it up that way always, that I offer stone readings, and then I offer the children a stone rather than their parents. I'm not going to give away the whole store full of stones, obviously. No. So.
Well, I think what we're getting from this is that basically you can do any type of divination. The question was, which type? You can basically do any, but there's an element of performance, collaboration, and bringing the client in, that if you can incorporate that, whether that's astrology or lithomancy or bone reading, that it will make it more successful. And I think this is something that in the age of the internet, right, where everything is done via email, or the age of phones, this is a sort of lost art form that can be forgotten, a sort of a performance component that can be missing in a lot of divination. But I think both of you are really, I mean, the idea of letting someone pick a bone or giving a tumbled stone to a child, it's a kind act, but there's also like a presentation that you're doing, right? Like you're showing, and that draws in clients, and that's incredibly beautiful. And I think that's really important to highlight, is that any sort of divination can work, but there has to be more than just, let me show you how wise and sagacious and psychic I am. There's an element of, well, why don't you shuffle the cards, or why don't you shuffle the bones, or why don't you pick this tumbled stone, or whatever it is that brings the client or that person in. That sort of physicality, that sort of performance is what makes successful. And I can certainly say, as a person who's observed these, though not performed, I can, the ones that have stood out to me throughout my various travels are the people who have that presence, who shuffle the cards in a particular way, or cut the cards in a particular way, or who cast the bones. I saw a brilliant bone reader do this once, Sangoma bone reader, and the way that they sort of rattled the bones was unique. It was very interesting in the way that they sort of shaked it in. And then they sort of, as they spread it, they put both hands out and spread the bones with their hands. And it was very, like, a beautiful sort of performance component of it. And that draws clients in, right? But what about questions? Like, what type of questions can you do at a psychic reading? Is everything fair game? Or are there certain things that you're like, you know what? You have to set up a time. I can give you a quick one, but let's talk further on another day.
I try to summon up enough courage to be as courageous as the person who's sitting on, you know, across from me. Mm. And so I accept what they throw at me, and then we investigate, right? So we're not telling the cards what to do. We're not telling the pendulum what to do. We have to go at it with curiosity once that question is posed, right? Mm. And if this is the only opportunity that this person and I get the chance to do a reading, which is sometimes the case, and they approach me and they bring that to me, it's my responsibility to try to do some work with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I am not one of those people who will take cards out of the deck because they're scary or anything like that. I'll go. If they're going to ask, I'm going to answer. The kinds of questions are really the same types we would get for booked appointments, maybe a little bit more on health and money and protection than on love, because they might be there with friends who might limit what they can say. But I'll go, if they put it up, I'll lay down the cards. And some people will bring in very emotional questions and some will not. Now, there's another thing here about performance. If you have oils or products like that, be sure that you let some of the scent out into the air. Mm-hmm. Maybe make up a little spritzer of money drawing oil and just spritz it on yourself. Let them see as they come by. There's going to be a sort of a component, because we can't have candles. There's going to be some component in the air that they might like. And another thing I tell them, because they're always afraid, they'll hand me a bottle and say, "What does it smell like?" And I'd say, "Open it up, smell it." And they go, "Oh, I can?" And I, "Of course you can." Right?
Oh yeah. So, yeah, I've seen some people get in some big trouble for lighting up sage or incense in these indoor things.
Yeah, you can't. You can't.
Yeah, but it's really neat to have the sprays. Those are usually okay. You do want to check with people, kind of give that pause to hold the spray, mm-hmm. give that pause, get a little indication that they're okay with this, because sometimes people are very allergic to, they'll be very cautious and they need to be. Mm-hmm. But you know, they tend to appreciate the sprays more than the smoke at these fairs, for sure.
Mm. Yeah. The Mango Witch says, "For big group things, I wash my hands with Florida water between readings, and the scent makes people curious." That's a really good one. And Papa Newt says, "My oil blend is money drawing attraction, look me over, and influence when I work fairs." I like Money Drawing and Cleo May. I mean, we all have our little things. Valentina swears by Cleo May, and that's a good one to get people to give you tips or to buy more. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of and Crown of Success says Coast Side Conjure. Crown of Success is one I clock at these kinds of events. That's a good one too. It's a very nice smell. Mm-hmm. Also, Coast Side Aphrodite oil. And and Phyllis says they all smell delicious together. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Mexico, in the fairs there, they actually spray the client in addition to sort of this. So like you go and get a reading, and then they also perform limpias out on.
Yeah, spray you. Yeah.
And they spray you, yeah. Sure. With cologne.
And that depends again on the venue, whether they allow that or not. But yes, I have done that at outdoor festivals or fairs. It's pretty easy, you know, to spray them.
In my little box of stuff, you know, you can't bring everything, right? So I limit my cards to a box, and I can't take any more cards than that go, you know, that exceed that box. And then my little trinkets and stuff, I have another box for that, right? Mm-hmm. But what I always have is your awesome money oil, Miss Cat. Mm-hmm. Right,
money drawing. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, the money drawing, it's definitely one of those smells, and people you know, you can tell people love it. I love it anyway. So you have in most of the bottles, there's an allspice berry. Mm-hmm. Right, that you put in there. And it kind of, when you invert the bottle, it sometimes acts as a stopper. And so I was compelled to find something to poke it back into the bottle, right? Mm-hmm. So I reach into my thing and I get this skeleton key, and it has a little nub on it, and it was perfect. It fit right in there, right? Mm-hmm. And then I have oil on the key. I go, wait a minute, I have money drawing oil on a master key. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm going to use to do my application of the oil. Wow. And it works like a charm.
That's so funny to push the allspice berry down.
Yeah, it works. It's great.
Well, looks like we're at the end of our episode here. So
really informative.
Yeah, I hope we taught you guys a lot of things. You can go forth and do likewise.
LMC. You're listening to the LMC Radio Network, broadcasting out of Forestville, California, on the World Wide Web at LuckyMojo.com.
The LMC Radio Network is a media alliance that brings you the best in hoodoo, conjure, witchcraft, rootwork, new thought, spiritualism, and pagan ways. Our shows include the Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour, live on Sundays from 3 to 4:30 Pacific Time. Crystal Silence League Hour, The Wish, The Priestess, and The Cauldron, Mystics, Mages, and Magical Places, and The Now You Know Show. All these shows are available as audio podcasts via the Lucky Mojo Forum at forum.luckymojo.com and at YouTube, where we make daily video uploads. Please like and subscribe at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. Sponsored by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company, makers of handcrafted spiritual supplies and offering the widest selection of magical herbs and roots, plus hundreds of free web pages filled with spellcasting tips and fortune-telling techniques. Our shop is located in Forestville, California, and we sell retail and wholesale online at LuckyMojo.com.
Support for this programming is provided by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California, and located online at luckymojo.com, and by the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers, AIR, a directory of ethical and authentic conjure practitioners located online at readersandrootworkers.org, and by Hoodoo Psychics, the first psychic line run entirely by Hoodoo practitioners. Receive a reading with a trusted rootworker instantly. Call 1-888-4-HOODOO or visit hoodoopsychics.com. And by the Crystal Silence League, a free online prayer service of the Association of Independent Spiritual Churches, located online at crystalsilenceleague.org. And now it's time for a free spell segment with Ethan Nichols of myselfismycards.com in Fullerton, California. Take it away, Ethan.
Well, we've talked about making money at fairs. This spell is for clarifying energy and generating compassionate grounding. Today's spell is for creating the Compassionate Garden Bouquet, a magical living charm that invites success by guaranteeing integrity in your work. To begin, you go to the garden space where you plan to harvest your components. This ritual needs a moment of deep reverence. You stand or sit quietly, allowing yourself to fully enter the plant space. That would be my dog denying somebody entry to the space. Okay, so you feel the sun, you feel the breeze, the weather. Light some incense, maybe some sage, cedar, sandalwood. And you let the scent prepare the air for magic. With the smoke rising, address the forces you work with. Acknowledge the four directions above and below, making a circling gesture, sunwise, clockwise, to affirm the connectedness of all life. You speak your core intention. This is a prayer of universal harmony. Something like this. Great Spirit, thank you for this day, for my health, and the many blessings surrounding me. I pray for all of my relations, great and small, seen and unseen. May all things be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May we live in equanimity without attachment and aversion. I'm preparing to work at a fair, a place of healing, learning, and expansion of spirit. I ask to collect small branches and leaves from the protective and healing plants around me to make a bouquet for my workspace, so that others may also enjoy the healing and protective benefits that they bring. It is good. And then when you approach the plants, you approach them the way you would an animal, a person, someone that you care about and you respect, and ask them do they want to offer a branch or leaves to your bouquet? Often they will welcome this. Sometimes you may see something, aphids, a little, you know, fungus or something. Perhaps that's an indication that now is not a time. And then of course you address that later because you're friends with this plant. You're building a relationship. At any rate, you're making this bouquet so that you can sit it at your table and that it can, people naturally feel that energy. It's always a beautifying thing to have some bay, rosemary, lavender, some just whatever you have around me. I'm lucky to have a garden that I can go to on my property and pick those herbs. And if you have the ability to do that, that's a great way of deepening that work. You're bringing something from your prosperous home to your prosperous workspace. And it's an extension of your overall life and what you're offering to the world. So I know that's simple, but it's effective. I can tell you that it works and it brings joy.
So. You know, that's a really important thing. If you're in an indoor space, to bring a little bit of nature in, particularly, again, if you're selling products that are made with natural herbs, you want to show people that this is not from a factory. And bringing in sprigs of the healing herbs that you use that are fresh cut will actually show people. And you can put up a little sign, you know, ask me about magical herbs. And they will. They will sense that you've brought in something from nature. Now, if you live in an apartment and you don't have such things, you can go to a florist shop and get some cut flowers that were, you know, special grown for the purpose of bringing enjoyment to people. And I am going to make a shout out here to a show that we did called The Floral Oracle and to a website that Nagashiva and I have written, called The Floral Oracle. And it has hundreds at this point of flowers, herbs, leaves, all kinds of things that are used in communicating symbolic meaning, just the way that stones and colors and planets and signs of the zodiac do. So if you haven't seen the show at YouTube on The Floral Oracle, you might want to check it out. But you can also choose and select yesterday evening, Nagashiva brought home white and red carnations. And I said, oh, how pretty. Why white and red? And he goes, no yellow, no yellow. Because yellow carnations have a negative connotation in the language of flowers. And he had decided to bring me red for sensuality and white for innocence. And that was so sweet. But no yellow.
Oh, nice.
Because yellow carnations mean I reject your proposal. But of course, yellow sunflowers mean optimism and good health. It depends on the plant. And so you can always go there and read all about them. And then that's another way, besides intuitively connecting with the plants, is to look at them from a traditional floriography point of view. Thank you. That's a beautiful spell. And thanks for reminding people to bring nature into the spaces where you're working. It's so important.
Definitely.
All right. Well, there is our music. And we're going to turn this over to Papa Newt for our outro. And then we'll come back and say goodbye. Take it away, Papa Newt.
Thank you, Miss Cat and Conjure Man. And thank you, Ethan Nichols of MyselfIsMyCards.com in Fullerton, California, for being our guest this week. We invite you to join us next week when our special guest from the Association of Independent Readers and Rootworkers will be Mama E of ConjureDoctor.com in Los Angeles, California, bringing us the discussion on the magic of winter flora. Once again, we come to an end of another Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rootwork Hour brought to you by the Lucky Mojo Curio Company in Forestville, California. You can find Miss Cat via the Lucky Mojo form at form.luckymojo.com and Conjure Man at ConjureManConsulting.com in Mission Viejo, California. I'm your announcer, Papa Newt, joining you from PapaNewt.com in Omaha, Nebraska. The Lucky Mojo Hoodoo Rubric Hour can be heard every week via YouTube live stream at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern Time, and the shows are available at YouTube at youtube.com/LuckyMojoCurioCo. For all of us at Lucky Mojo, I'd like to say thank you for being here and invite you to tune in once again next week at the same time when you'll hear the familiar strains of the Memphis Jug Band playing the Jug Band Waltz. Thanks, everybody. Goodbye.
Thank you. Thank you very much. This was an interesting show for me. I love passing along things that I've learned from others. Big shout out to Brian Hobrin for the Tumble Polish Stone Oracle. I have used that and made a lot of money with it over the years. And shout out to everybody who taught me to row. So, it's interesting that our next week's show is going to be about the seasonal flora of winter. Mm-hmm. We do a lot of shows on herb magic around here, not unsurprisingly. If you have friends who like herb magic, tell them to drop on by and check us out. We are doing pretty well at YouTube, but you know, subscriptions make all the difference. And I want to tell you that if you have a subscription but you don't see a show come up on your homepage, go to your subscriptions page in YouTube and look for what you're subscribed to. Thanks a lot, guys. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks. Good night.
Bye-bye.